Fanatic.com, this segment brought to you by Patrick Eads and his great staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek, Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Mike's E-Keys for Cars, GT Carr and his great crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling, Supple's Flowers, the home of 1-800-800-ROSE, the Midtown Family Restaurants, Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City, Senior Benefits, Wells Fargo Advisors, Premier Automotives in North Liberty, the Oxyokin in the Amanas, Streets Maintenance, McCarran Painting, Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids, and Big Dog Tech Solutions. Here's Tom Suter, who would have maybe a fortune if he would have held on to Don Schneider's ex that he...
Don Nelson?
Don Nelson, what did I say?
Don Schneider.
Don Schneider. That's a friend of mine from Ambrose College.
Well,
Don
of course
Nelson's
it is.
Ex.
You know, but that's funny, Steve,
yeah.
But how would anybody know that Don Nelson made the ex?
Oh, you could tell them.
They wouldn't
just have to take
believe me.
Word. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like you.
Well, maybe he didn't.
He came to our class and signed his name.
Oh, that's great.
Also, which I also didn't save. Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental and Big Dog Tech Solutions. Did I say that already?
Yeah, that's okay.
Here's Tom Suter.
What you said.
From HawkFanatic.com. It's Pat Hardy.
I got something in my eye. I'm not sure how expensive a Don Nelson autograph would be. I'm not knocking him, but you guys are acting like it'd be you lost out on $1 million or something. He was a great Iowa player, good
yes,
NBA player, great NBA coach. Sad to see him pass.
One of the best ever.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mistakenly thought he was dead about a year ago on this show. I forgot, and you guys looked it up, and he wasn't.
Remember, well, he was doing a marijuana farm.
Well,
wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if he was doing it as recently as a year ago, but I remember him doing. Wasn't he doing like a podcast or something out in Hawaii where he lived endorsing marijuana? Which that's his thing. It's legal, and he said it made him feel better. And he did live 86 years. He had a good life. He was
he
great.
Did all right.
He was good for the game of basketball, and basketball was good to him.
Was he a Rock Island boy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Rocky High.
And I didn't realize that his junior year, I believe they said it was, they were rolling along, and then four starters were ruled academically ineligible.
Yep.
And John Campbell posted an interview they did when he had grabbed. Remember when he came back and got his degree in 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Don Nelson, they interviewed him, and he said, he goes, the only reason I survived is I took a lot of easier classes. He goes, one of our, you know, so-and-so, he took advanced calculus, and he flunked. And and Don Nelson saying, like, of course, you know, you take a class like that, you're going to flunk. And he said these other guys took way more difficult classes than him. But the fact that they were all ruled academically ineligible,
that kind of... Blew a hole in the roster that year.
Yeah, he was the only one that survived. No, he was the best player, but still, to lose. And that's when he said the quarterback became part of the starting lineup.
Matt Ciccone.
He moved into the starting lineup because it sounds like the starting point guard flunked or, you know, was that. Now, I guess you don't necessarily flunk. Their GPAs just didn't meet the standard. And, of course, I think it was a lot more strict back then.
Wasn't that the Hustlin' Hawks?
That's before I was alive. You were only like 60.
I believe it was the Hustlin'
Hawks. It was like 1961.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he played from 60 to 62.
Yeah.
So, why'd they call him the Hustlin' Hawks? Because there
were
many of them.
Because they lost four of their best players. And they
that'd be called the Dumb Hawks.
They had a pretty good team.
Why weren't they called the Dumb Hawks?
Because they ended up with a pretty good team.
But they weren't near what they thought they were
going to be. Oh,
well, no. But what do you think, Captain? The Hustlin' Hawks or the Dumb Hawks?
I think Nelson was right. Why would you take those classes?
And he just did it so matter of fact. You know, I took easier classes, and here I was still hoping. That's an endorsement for higher education, isn't it? But it was a funny interview.
Well, he was could be a funny guy.
He was. He had a dry sense of humor. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember when he was an old guy playing for the Boston Celtics in the mid-70s. And by then, he was 13 years into his NBA career. But I remember... I'm like, and I didn't really put two and two together that he was with. I'm back then, guys, I was 8 or 9 years old watching that stuff. But I remember him being an old NBA player who could still get in the lane and rise up and shoot that 1950s type one-handed jump shot that he shot. And I'm old enough to remember his latter days of his playing career with the Celtics. And but then he really came on as a great coach. I mean, with Dallas. I mean, and who else did he coach? I know he coached, I think, two or three different spots. But he was really good wherever he was. The players seemed to like him. So, yeah, it was sad to see that. You're seeing a lot of people from, well, most people, guys, from the 50s and early 60s have passed. Like I said, I looked up, Willie Fleming is still, according to Google, still alive at 87 and living in Ohio. So, but there's not many people left from those Rose Bowl teams.
No, not.
Not hardly at all. I mean, just, you know, the first Rose Bowl, that was, what, 70 years ago? Am I right with my ass?
56? Well, January 1st, 57. So,
well, I'm just talking the season. It was 70 years ago. 56 season.
Yeah.
It was 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Those guys are, if they're alive, they're in their late 80s, early 90s, and there's just not many left.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because I'm old enough to know when I was in high school, which is a long time ago, those guys were like, back then, were in like their 35s and 40s. You remember them as sort of young men.
Yeah.
I mean, like Randy Duncan. And when he played at Iowa in the mid to late 50s. And yeah, so yeah, it's getting old sucks. And that's kind of when I saw that thing about Don Nelson, I wasn't surprised. I mean,
no.
86. And again, for some reason, I thought he had passed earlier. But yeah, that's just another great Hawkeye that was, who really made his mark in basketball at all levels that he participated in.
Didn't he take three different teams to the playoffs?
Yeah, and I'm drawing a blank. I know it was the Mavericks. Was it the Bucks? And there was
the Celtics.
Or was it Golden State? I thought it was Golden State.
Yeah, I thought he did coach Golden State.
I know it was the Mavericks. That's what I remember him the most for. And his players, everywhere he went, it seemed like his players really liked him. And he seems like the kind of guy that would be fun to play for. He could be gruff if he needed to be, but he did. He had a sense of humor.
Just don't ask for his autograph.
He had a series of strokes.
That's why it
was in hospice.
Yeah, the latter years were not the best, but that's often the case, sadly. Yeah.
So he never coached the Celtics, but he played for them, obviously.
No, he played for them. And like I said, I'm old enough to remember when he was really old, still making NBA rosters in his mid-30s. That's pretty impressive.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey, hello. One of my oldest buddies. One of my oldest buddies lives over in Maui.
Yeah.
And has worked for Mick Fleetwood for forever and John McVie and all that.
Yeah.
Those guys. But he's gone to a lot of gatherings and parties where Don Nelson was there. And Donnie, he liked his herb a lot.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And he liked really high-quality herb and real high-quality drinks. So... He was quite a well-rounded individual, let's put it that way.
Well, he
said it was a very nice guy, and remembered his time in Iowa City fondly, because my buddy's from Cedar Rapids, too. So,
well, good.
He loved Iowa.
Yeah. And most Hawkeye fans remember him very fondly.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
he coached the Bucks. The Knicks, the Mavericks, Golden State Warriors.
I don't remember the Knicks. But, yeah, he was good at throughout his career as a head coach. And so, yeah, sad to see him pass. And you know, it was interesting listening to the caller talk about, you know, he liked high-grade marijuana. Some people may, oh, God, how can he be? That's no different than saying he loved whiskey, different brands of whiskey.
Well, he liked high-grade liquor, too.
Or different brands of wine. But, no, but to some people.
Well, you don't want. Ditch weed.
But what I'm saying, though, is some people still look at weed different than they do alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alcohol is accepted. It's who we are. Weed is for the radical hippies who, you know.
Since the 30s.
Well, but
since the 1930s.
I mean, I know a lot of people that are benefiting from THC use more than, I mean, alcohol is not helping them, but a lot of people use it for pain and what have you. So it's just, I always find that interesting that there's still this stigma with weed. Can't we agree? There's still this kind of guilt.
It's ridiculous.
And a lot of people that push that on.
It should be legalized, and at least it should be decriminalized.
Yes, exactly.
100%.
You know, but don't blame the cops when they stop somebody and because they have to do that.
Well, I've seen even on the cop show, he had like a gram. Do we really have to? You know, they don't want to deal with that stuff.
No, a lot of them.
Now, again, you shouldn't be using it and driving. It's no different than alcohol. No.
Yeah.
It should be treated just like alcohol. All right. We have a caller.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, guys. There was never any interest in the years of, like, coaching searches with basketball for, like, between him or Iowa as being the basketball coach at Iowa?
Not that I was aware of. No, I missed a lot of that, of course.
I don't think he was interested.
I don't think he was interested. I don't see Don Nelson being much of a recruiter. You know,
he was deeply in the NBA culture.
Plus, he played so long in the NBA, and I just think that he was better. Well, remember when we had Ryan Bowen on one time? And we had Ryan's like, it's just, I don't think Ryan likes the pro game better. I think it's just, for some, it's apples and oranges. It's just a better fit for some in college. Kirk decided that he liked college better than he liked the NFL, even though he liked both. And I think that's what it was with Don Nelson. He got to the point where he was very hireable. I know that's not a word, but he was somebody who was going to be on any list of open coaching vacancies when he was in his prime. And look at the jobs he had. I mean, he had good jobs.
Yeah.
But again, I can't tell you about the 80s and early 90s. I don't know if he was ever mentioned I don't remember him being mentioned for to replace George Raveling or to replace Lute Olson. I don't remember any of that ever happening, just from reading.
Okay. One other question, and then because there's talks about, like, the whole Seahawks series and whatnot. I've read a lot of stuff on that. And I guess this is more for Tom as a fan. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, like, the scheduling, I always used to like when they would play someone like Iowa State and then a Pitt, Syracuse, Arizona, somebody like that, and then have an easy one first or in between them.
Well, I just love the Hawkeye games, period. I mean, I want to see us win, but on the other hand, playing Pitt, you know, those games were exciting.
Yes. And one other thing, and as a fan, and I've only been to probably, I'm 41 years old, I've probably been to 10 games in my life. And, one thing that I would like to see them do, and I've seen, I mean, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio State, they've all done it. I would like to see them play an academy, a service academy.
I'd like to see that, too. Yeah, no, that's a good suggestion.
Well, I believe we did play the Air Force back in
1991 in a bowl game, is the last I recall.
But and they did in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, too. No, it's been done before, but I know I like that's a good idea.
They always fascinate me, them teams, and I usually watch them.
They're all pretty good right now. There's been stretches where some of the service teams. Yeah, all three are. There's been stretches where some of them haven't been very good. Now they're all pretty good.
Yeah, I think I think Navy won 10 games and Army won 9 last year.
Yeah, no, they've been.
And Air Force is always decent.
Yeah, and.
But anyway, guys, I just wanted your answer. No, I just thought a service academy would be a good one.
I agree. So. That's a good one.
Have a good one, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
No, like I said, this year's non-conference schedule is just, it's not much. I just did my picks yesterday. I did my game picks.
I saw them, yeah.
And I had said that I was going to go 8-4, and I stuck with it. They're going to be 3-3 midway through. But then they're going to win 5 out of the last 6. But the problem with being 3-3, of course, is what?
They're out of the playoffs.
10-2 is the breaking point for Iowa. Yes. Now, if they get to 24 teams, 8-4 will be the breaking point. I mean, last year they were 8-4 going into the bowl game, and they were ranked 23rd. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason Ferentz wants. Of course. It's self-serving. Yes, as a head coach, you want to do anything that can help your team further and improve its season. Of course, that's why Kirk wants 2014.
Well, fan, I want to see that too.
Yes, I mean, to criticize, I've actually had some people say it's these head coaches, they just want it so easy. I mean, if the powers to be are willing to put 24 teams in a playoff as a head coach, why wouldn't you embrace that?
No, exactly. And if anybody thinks being a Division I coach is easy, they're out of their minds.
No, it's not easy. Now, there's a lot of things that make your life easy. And so, and you know, money and what have you. But again, if you have 2 or 3 losing seasons, no matter who you are in a row, you're gone. There's always that threat. But the job itself brings a lot of easiness to your life, is what I would say.
Well, yes, it does.
Yeah, I mean, they make obscene amounts of money.
Yes,
I'm not blaming them until they start telling other people how to spend money and until they start ragging on the kids for getting money. That's the only time I'll blame head coaches. And not all of them do that. Most of them don't, but some of them do. The last thing we need to be lectured by is a $10 million a year head coach telling you how the money should be spent and how this is out of control, this is ridiculous. The inmates are running the asylum, blah. I don't need to hear any of that.
Well, the money is ridiculous for the coaches, too.
Well, it's ridiculous for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's way more ridiculous for the coaches. I mean, that Galen DeBoer, there was talk that he was maybe going to be replaced, and now he's making, what, $12, $13 million a year? Now, of course, if he goes 8-5 this year, he's probably gone, and they'll spend $70 million on a buyout. They don't care. They'll get their rich people to pay for it, and they'll just move on. That's where we are. It's incredible what's going on.
Really, as the money has changed, well, everything.
Well, I've been watching the ESPN or the CNN things decades in sports. It's pretty interesting. Everything started to change in the 80s. I didn't realize how much it started to change in the 80s. But it was interesting how Bo Jackson and Michael Jordan kind of took well, and then Magic and Bird. Those four athletes kind of took everything to where we are today, and they explained it about how that happened in the early to mid-80s.
Hello.
Hello. Didn't Don Nelson take time out and also become a referee?
That I don't recall.
Well, I don't recall that either, but you're...
He may... I don't... No,
if you remember it, you're probably right.
Well...
Because I remember him being an official for a while.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't either.
But are you looking it up, Captain?
Yeah.
Was Don Nelson ever an NBA official? Yeah, I don't recall
that. Was it NBA?
Yeah.
Salvation Army. Salvation Army Saturday at Morning League. Which I used to play in. Des Moines had a really good Salvation Army basketball league growing up. Games like twice a week.
No luck, Steve.
I remember watching him play he played, didn't he play Rock Island? Was it someplace, Rock Island?
Yeah,
that's where he's from.
And then he came to Iowa.
He was not a full-time NBA referee, though he briefly considered becoming one and worked summer league games as a ref after retiring as a player in 76. Instead of pursuing refereeing, he accepted an assistant coaching job with the Bucks.
Okay, so he
did good work, Karen.
He did do some work in the simulation.
I do remember, him being a referee several times. So.
Well, that's 50 years ago.
Okay, guys, is this supposed to be stormy today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stormy tonight.
Oh, brother.
It's supposed to be hot today. Heat index is around 100.
It was hot yesterday.
Well, it's going to be again today. Storms tonight. There's a chance of storms every day this week.
Just like there was last week.
Yeah, just a chance.
Oh, brother.
But we hardly had any storms. At least we didn't have much. Other people around us.
You have a good day.
All right. Hey, thanks, Karen.
Yeah, I didn't think he ever refereed an NBA game. I don't recall that. But, when you're retiring from the league, he played 14 years in the league. But he probably still didn't make a ton of money back then.
No. So but imagine the difference in money that he made. If he had made the other choice, being a referee,
well, he made the right choice, and I think the moment he had a chance to coach, his desire to ref was done.
Yeah, I would think
there's no comparison in money, and he obviously made the right choice. But yeah, didn't he leave Iowa like in '62? Wasn't that?
I think that was his last.
So he's 14 years, and that's incredible how long he played in the league. What was he? He was about 6'5", kind of a small forward, shooting guard type player for Iowa. The game was so different back then, though. There wasn't near the size.
I thought he was taller than that, no?
I thought he was 6'5", 6'6".
You could be right.
I could be wrong. I mean, I thought he was around 6'5", 6'6", which would make him perfect for today's Iowa team. They've got a lot of guys in that.
It's up to you to be a guard at 6'5", probably.
Well, back then, I think he was. I don't know if he was necessarily a power forward from watching him.
I think he was a center for Iowa,
He didn't play the game like a center. I've seen enough video of him where if he was a center, he was a center in name only. I mean, they show video of him. He looks like a small forward. The way he drives to the basket, the way he's shooting jumpers by the elbow. And I mean, they showed a couple of videos of him last night on ESPN doing a head fake and driving to the basket and making really nice layups, like finger roll layups. Now, for the Celtics, he was like a small forward shooting guard.
He was pretty athletic. He was a good
player. By the time I saw him play. By the time he was in the late stages for the Celtics, he was more.
Well, probably not.
He was a mid 30s. He was just a crafty NBA veteran who still knew how to get his shot off. But yeah, he was a great player at Iowa, great stats, and I thought it was cool that he came back and got his degree back in 2012. And he was very complimentary of Iowa when he came back too. Talked about how he really enjoyed his time here, and that interview he had with John Campbell, that was a good interview.
He had quite a career. He really did.
What are you looking up now, Captain?
Answering something on our page.
Oh. I thought you were looking up more on Don Nelson.
No. I posted, you know, people...
Are you the one about swearing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I let them get away with a lot because, you know, they're adults and everything. I get that. But the F word and the calling women the C word, I'm not going to...
There's no reason for that.
There's no reason for it. And, now
and the R word. The R word is used way too much.
Yeah. Now. You know, and they can't use it on our page either. There are certain words we've said are restricted. We choose them, and I choose them. And that's, it's restricted. You will see your comment when you comment, but the rest of the readers won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just was explaining that, and this woman, this Michelle Stevens of Solon, just wants to argue about it. You know,
freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's a letter in the alphabet. If you're going to discriminate against a letter in the alphabet or any words, it should be all words or no words.
What Come letter on. Is she pushing? What number word is she pushing?
She wants to say the F. Oh. She okay. I posted that you know, I posted that you won't be able to. You know, other people won't be able to see it. Just to tell them. You know.
Oh, so she wants other people to be able to see her F.
Well,
words?
So she posted a meme with all the words in it, so that we couldn't edit it.
Well, I'd be bouncing her.
Well, I'm bouncing her now. So, Michelle Stevens, you had a good run, but a word that I can use, you've been a bitch. So, you're
well,
done.
Well, there you go.
Little sideshow for Hawk Fanatic today.
Well, I, you know, why?
Now watch, it'll be Hawk Fanatic's band and Iowa fans on their show.
I don't know that she's, I don't, you know.
I don't, it's your business.
Well, I just.
Yeah, well, we can't say the F word, although you said it one time.
I did.
Yeah.
Can I, I've never, I don't believe I've ever. Can I say it one time?
No, you can, and you can't spell it out either.
How do you spell it? Let's, okay.
How do you spell it? What the hell?
But
see,
yes, it did. I slipped and said it.
Well, and that when Don Nelson made that X, that was in turn
he was basically saying "F you."
Yeah, basically.
"F you, you little brat." I don't care who your dad is.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he said.
I never was much of an autograph guy.
Nor was I.
But
you think Don Nelson ever gave Evie any crap as the AD?
Not for long.
I got one autograph that I saved.
Stevie Nicks?
Ed Kookie Burns.
Who was that? I can't remember.
That 77 Sunset Strip. And he was the DJ in Greece.
All right.
Vince Fontaine. Hello?
I have Hayden's autograph on his... He autographed his book to me.
Okay, well, then I've got...
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Hey, there is an April Wine song that spells out the F word.
Good for it.
I won't do it, but it Thank does you. Spell out.
I don't think...
I'm just saying. Hey,
I don't think we're playing yet.
I don't know if you can play it on... I've heard
No, you can't. I doubt that. I really doubt you might have heard it on a stream, but no, we can't do that.
Well, doesn't Not Now John by Pink Floyd use the F word?
Yeah, and it's edited. We can't even on KFMH, which is just an internet station, we are distributed on TuneIn and all these apps, and these apps say it has to live up to broadcast
standards. Sure, no, mm-hmm. I get it.
So you can't even do it.
Well, I don't use the F word on our website.
Huh?
I don't use the F word. I'll take out the F word in quotes. I don't put it on our website.
Yeah.
Because it could offend somebody.
The song by The Who Are You, drops the F bomb during it.
Well, good for them.
What
is your point? What is your point? There's lots of people that say the F word. What is your point?
I don't have a point, Captain.
Well, then,
okay.
Well, then F you.
All right, thanks, okay. Jerry.
I mean, what the hell? Sorry, Jerry, but...
My dad cussed a lot, but he never said the F word other than one time I heard it. He just never used that word. G-D-S-O-B all the time.
My mom bandied it about like it was water.
No, that was the F word was strictly forbidden. And my dad, his first response to anything was G-D-S-O-B. and but he never said the F word. So
I said the word piss once, and my mom really.
I've never understood why that's. Why is that such a bad word?
My mom, I don't know. My mom said the F word all the time, but if we said fart, oh my God. It was.
Well, I've never understood why piss is such a bad word.
I don't know, but my mom didn't like me saying it either.
Yeah, my mom didn't either. And, yeah, I don't get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't want to fight with you, Jerry.
You just already did. You cut him off.
You're a caller. He's out there. Well, I want to know what the point is.
He's out there moving American's products on the streets with his truck. And you're
just run down hundreds of songs.
He's putting food on your table.
On your table, and you're cutting him off. Well, and you told him to F off. How mean are you going to be to this caller?
Pretty mean.
All right, enter at your own risk.
Well, it's always that.
Go hello. Hawks.
Hello.
Oh, oh. Sending you a message.
He bailed.
I didn't even recognize it was Jerry.
I'll only wait for 11 rings.
Oh, I know. You're not great at voice
recognition. I'm not recognizing. No, but I mean, I didn't know.
If it was Jerry, you would have waited another 15 seconds before you cut him off.
Why would I have told him to have off?
Well, he's probably laughing.
Here we go. This guy's back.
Hello. Hello.
I know you don't like people calling twice in one show, but I never got to my point. I was making a conversation to start with. The point that I was going to ask Pat, I had read that there's a possibility of another year of eligibility for like Stolte and a couple of the other former Hawkeye players, and I wondered if there's any truth to that or any chance we might see them coming back to the program.
Well, I mean, school starts, what, in?
A week? Or a week? No, it's more longer than that.
2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, that's been out there. It's been discussed and what have you. But the last I have, it's not like I've been calling Hannah. I haven't seen, have you seen? The last I saw, Hannah was already preparing to go overseas.
Go to Italy.
And that Taylor McCabe's, I believe, already enrolled at Notre Dame.
She's going in the fall, yes.
Yeah. And
been accepted into the program.
Yeah, I haven't. That possibility is out there. Tavian Banks, it looks like he's, from what I can tell, moving on. But we don't know if he's moving on to pro or to college. He looks like he's weighing both options. But I haven't seen anything. Now, again, I haven't been looking real hard. I haven't seen anything concrete saying, yeah, they're coming back. Yeah, I mean, Hannah Stolke, I was told, is going overseas to play. And the Taylor McCabe, I just saw other Iowa media people tweeting that she's already going, she's already been accepted to Notre Dame for grad school, and that's what she's doing.
Would that other year of eligibility have to be used right now, or is that something that can be used at any time?
I think it's got to be used now, because remember, the five-year, five window. I mean, it would have to be used right now.
And here's why I didn't recognize him. Okay. You're not on your phone, you're on, like, Bluetooth.
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't recognize. You usually call up on your phone.
Yeah, I'm in my semi, so I'm going hands-free today. I'm down in Keokuk.
Okay. Oh. Okay, well, I didn't recognize
you. All right. Well, Jerry, thanks for calling. And but I still didn't clarification.
I just still didn't know what your point was. Bye.
Well, I don't see the correlation between the F word and Hannah and Taylor and Tavion.
Sorry. Yeah, and the last thing Tavion Banks, didn't he put something out on Instagram? It wasn't on Twitter. Twitter, he has something where once he found out that he had a chance for another year, today's news is something I prayed for. I'm hungry and ready to get to work in my final year. Much love to Iowa, a year I won't forget. I'm excited to find the best basketball fit for my final year. That was basically his first kind of goodbye to Iowa there. Yeah. Then he did it in a little bit more detail on Instagram, and he did this one on July 31st. So I'm guessing he's either going to pop up at some other college or probably overseas. He's not an NBA. I don't see him being an NBA player right away. I think he's one of these guys that would have to go play at lower levels to show and even have a chance. But yeah, it looks like both sides have moved on, but with no hard. There's I don't see any hard feelings or anything. I got the impression that Ben had moved on in June and July.
And
he said it without really saying it. And their roster set, and they do. Even though I think he probably would be the best of all their small forward wing players, they've got enough of those position guys right now.
We do maybe too many of them.
Well, we'll see. Now we'll see how versatile they are. I mean, because Tate Sage, hopefully he can play small forward, shooting guard, and be an emergency fill-in at point guard if he has to. He's shown that he can bring the ball up the court. So we'll see. So, but yeah, that fifth year, I just think it's crazy that a judge ruled so late in the process. Now, the kid from Indiana, Stephen Daly, the football player, he's coming back. But I think part of the reason he's coming back is, remember, he injured his knee and didn't play in the playoffs. He led them in tackles for loss last year with 19. He just announced recently that he's using that fifth year to come back to play for Indiana. And my guess is because he needs to probably show he's healthy again to improve his professional stock would be how I'm, and could do a lot worse than going, coming back and playing for the defending national champion, who you know are going to be good again this year.
Plus, you get a little bit of a paycheck as well.
Oh, he'll get he'll get plenty of money. Indiana's got a really good NIL going right now. And when you win a national championship, imagine if Iowa won a national championship in football, I think their NIL would improve.
What did you think about the Purdue AD's statement?
He said,
if you want to win championships, come to Purdue. If you want to, or don't go to Indiana.
It was just stupid. I mean, it was just so...
After them winning
the lack of self-awareness on that one, I think what he was looking for now, since we're in this era of gotcha moments, politicians do it.
Yeah.
People, you know, podcasters, media influencers, and whatever. I think everyone's looking for that gotcha moment comment. And that thing was just whoever, if he did that off the cuff or if somebody told, hey, here's a good funny joke, that was just bad. That was so stupid to say. Plus, Indiana looks really good again this year, whereas Purdue's being picked 17th or 18th. That was just not the type of thing to say to rally the troops, I should say.
No.
So, but yeah, no, that was an odd way to criticize your in-state rival.
Poor start.
Yes.
Captain, you got
something. What do
you got, Captain?
You look like you got something else.
You look like you got feathers around your mouth.
So this was just posted. After I posted that.
Is this hawk related?
No. Okay. It's about, it's on a Henson post.
Okay.
Oh, God.
This is from Eric Bell. Typical F word, T word, brainwashed, inbred MAGA, C word. Republicans hate Constitution and non-white people. F-word, vote this C-word out of office.
Jesus, I mean, that ain't good either.
Wow, no.
You don't need that either.
And that's on our page?
That's on our page.
I'd ban them, too. Yeah, ban them, Captain.
Yeah.
Eric Bell.
You don't care if they're far left or far right, you're banning them.
Eric Bell, you're going to be ringing somewhere else, bud. Yeah.
Yeah. Ring my bell, Anita Ward.
As his profile picture, he's got the flag up.
Eagle,
down.
Yeah.
Do you like Anita Ward? Ring my bell, Captain?
No.
You can ring my bell? You didn't like that?
I didn't like it.
How about you, Suter?
What do you think?
You guys are dissing Anita Bell. Or Anita, no, what was it? Anita Ward. Anita Ward.
Yeah. Anita New Drug.
Why would you post that after I posted that?
To get
what he's getting right now. You're talking about him on Hawk Fanatic.
And you're bouncing him.
Yeah.
This guy's part of Hawk.
So we've got attention.
We've mentioned this guy more than Kirk so far in Hawk Fanatic. Wow. We haven't even mentioned the quarterbacks or Media Days Friday. You sending Hunter out there for a remote Friday?
Sure.
It's going to be 73. The high, well, at least the last time you read the high for Friday, it was 73.
Upper 70s.
Oh, now it's up to upper 70s.
Yeah, but that ain't bad.
No, not for August 14th. And precip?
Chance of storms.
Deluge.
Like what chance? Is it 10, 20, 60? Low. Because then they'll just move it inside the practice facility, which is fine, but it can be a
53%.
Yeah, so there's a chance for
lightning.
Well, if it's lightning, then we'll definitely be inside. Understandably, that just
80% chance for Thursday, 39 Wednesday, 51 tomorrow, 49 today.
So, what day are we most interested in? Thursday?
No, Friday's media day.
Friday's 50% according to. Weather bug, 50% chance of storms.
So there's a good chance it's going to...
High of 77.
That'll be interesting. Cool weather at the same time with precip in August. That just...
Wow.
It does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's just an odd combination.
91% chance that Jerry knows every F word in every song.
Wow. You know what song I'm talking about, Not Now John.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the chorus in that is F all that.
Yes.
And it just says it over and over. And that was Roger Waters. Probably he was angry.
Yeah.
Well, John Lennon used it in Working Class Hero, the F word.
Yes. I mean, And, you know, you could get away with it as artistic content.
Expression.
Except the actually, like, tune in and people that distribute us, they're actually more hard ass about it than...
You think Don Nelson ever used the F word?
Yes.
I bet he did.
You know it.
Yeah, to him.
This is some...
F you, kid.
As he walked as he walked away from Souter.
This is some effing awesome weed. I bet he said that a few times.
You know that.
You know he did.
Most people smoking it.
As the tears trickled down my 8-year-old face.
Did you go cry to your dad and tell him to be mean?
I didn't go crying to him. I just said, I went to get Don Nelson's autograph, and he looked at it, and he said, well, I can get you his autograph if you want. And I said, no, that's okay.
You should have went to Evie and told Evie to be mean to him. Intimidate
him. He couldn't do that to us because he was in front of his mother. He came to our school.
But didn't you get other autographs, and they signed theirs at the same time? Didn't you ask somebody else?
Yeah, but I was never much of an autograph guy. And if even the few that I got...
Did you get Alex Karras's autograph?
I don't know.
Do you ever remember being around Alex Karras?
No, but I was around John Nyland and those guys.
That was his early 60s, wasn't it? Nyland was like 61.
Yeah, I was on he carried me around on his shoulders on the
What I remember about John Nyland, he was really good for the Cowboys, and I remember that's about when I first started watching I didn't even realize that he played at Iowa, but he was really good for the Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, he was really good in the pros.
He was good in college, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I didn't, I wasn't old enough. Yeah. I wasn't even alive when he was in college. But Alex Karras, he's been sort of like Evie to me, sort of one of these mystifying figures in Hawkeye legend and lore, and that story about them stashing him away up in Spencer.
He was a great interview.
Oh, he was. Remember when he did Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Didn't they go from Don Meredith to Alex Karras?
Yeah.
And then what was his thing? Oh, Webster. He kind of lost me with Webster a little bit.
Webster.
I didn't really like Webster much.
Well, that's why we interviewed him. He was pushing the show.
And it was very successful. It just wasn't for me. Did you guys watch a lot of Webster?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I
did.
I didn't watch much of it.
Wasn't Susan Clark his wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
In real
his
life,
wife.
Too.
Yeah.
I remember talking to her on the phone to set up an interview we did with him years ago when I was at the press. And she was nice once she realized who I was. But I imagine, when you're the wife of Alex Karras, and she was successful too, you probably do get a lot of weird, people requests and what have you. But when she found out we were a legitimate newspaper from his college town, then they were very obliging. But, yeah, no, he was funny, and he was a hell of a player.
Yes, he was.
When he retired from the NFL is about what he was. I mean, he retired like late 60s, early 70s. And what have you, I was just starting to know how to watch TV. So, yeah, I never really ever was able to ever watch him play. But yeah, and his feud with Evashevsky, that stuff was fascinating, too, when you look back at some of the stuff I've read over the years. They did not like each other, but I think deep down they finally admitted later on that there was a mutual sort of respect for each other. Yeah. He didn't like Evie. Because, Evie was riding his ass all the time. And he was one of these guys who I think just let me play and just leave me alone. Didn't that kind of how you remember him?
Very much so. And I don't know that Alex went to a lot of classes.
He probably didn't. And he was better than everyone. And I just think he didn't want to have to show it every day in practice. But still, they made it work. I mean, he won the Outland Trophy. I mean, they had a 2-year stretch where they won 2 out of the 3 Outland Trophies. Cal Jones and Alex Karras. And then Duncan finished runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. Karras finished runner-up. Again, that 6-7-year stretch was incredible.
Yeah.
And you're barely old enough to remember it, which is kind of neat. Yeah. I wish,
Webster is now 55.
Well, yeah, that show was 45 years ago.
He stepped out of acting after Webster and transitioned to behind-the-scenes entertainment ventures and lives a quiet life.
He's still alive, okay.
In Atlanta.
Gary Coleman's passed away, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was a little angrier than Emmanuel Lewis, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Remember that video of him working as a security and he just... I remember like TMZ or whatever was playing that back in the 80s. He was working, and he didn't like being filmed. But that was Different Strokes. Was that what that show was?
Yeah, I think so.
And they were both around at this kind of the mid-80s. But no, have you been watching the stuff on CNN? There's the stuff on sports in the decades. And
I haven't.
I watched the 80s last night. That was a repeat. But they're doing these documentaries now, each decade, 60s, 70s, 80s, sports related. And it's really interesting. They did the 80s last night with how Magic and Bird kind of opened the door, and then Jordan and Bo Jackson took it to another level, and now everybody's feeding off the endorsements. They showed that it's a financially profitable decision to throw a bunch of money at celebrities because they're going to make you even more money, and that's, of course, where we are now.
Well, that's why it happens, and it's hard to believe to me.
Yeah,
I would never buy something, I don't think, because somebody...
Oh, I don't either, but it must work, or they wouldn't continue for 40 years of paying these athletes tons and tons of money to endorse their stuff. They must see results from it.
Yeah,
they must. But yeah, no, I'll buy stuff out of loyalty, especially now that I'm in business. But fortunately, everyone that I do business with, I like their product.
Yeah.
I mean, Shields, their stuff is high quality. One of our most recent advertisers, Standard Pest Control, I've loved the work they've done. I've used them for 10 years, even longer than that, prior to them advertising for me. And, of course, I've never had a problem with bugs at my house either.
Yeah, that's good.
And I do it 2 or 3 times a year. And so, should we take a break?
Yes, we should. Speaking of bugs.
I didn't realize it was 10:45.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
9:45.
1-800-800-ROSE. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country.
1-800-800-ROSE.
It's so easy, just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist.
1-800-800-ROSE.
Remember...
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for 3 generations.
Pertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
If you live outside the city, you already know the struggle. Slow internet, drop calls, endless buffering, and promises from providers that never deliver. Well, now, things have changed. Big Dog Tech Solutions is proud to now offer Starlink Home Internet, bringing high-speed satellite internet to homes, farms, shops, cabins, and RVs across eastern Iowa and beyond. Starlink delivers fast, reliable internet where traditional providers can't. And Big Dog Tech Solutions makes it easy, setting up installation, networking, Wi-Fi setup, and local expertise you can actually call and talk to. So whether you're working from home, streaming TV, running security cameras, gaming, or just tired of terrible internet, it's time to upgrade. Call Big Dog Tech today at 319-395-0800. Or go to BigDogTech.net, that's BigDogTEK.net, and ask about Starlink, technology that works where you live.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general services to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors. Together, we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2418. 2369 or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member SIPC.
On an athletic team, you need team players, good athletes, superior equipment, and the best coaches available. In real estate, you need to have a good title and settlement team at your disposal. Hi, this is Steve Anderson. Whether you're buying, selling, or refinancing, you need quality title and settlement services. Consider the team at Hawkeye Title. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental Team provide superior care for your entire family.
Ready to transform your home with a fresh look? McCarran Painting is known for unique designs and color expertise honed over 20 years serving Iowa City, offering high-quality interior painting services and a commitment to doing things right. As a local, woman-owned business, McCarran Painting provides free estimates, honest evaluations, and clear communication. Their attention to detail and dedication to treating every home like their own is what keeps customers coming back. Call 319-325-1686. That's 319-325-1686.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, and it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's Premier Auto Body Repair Shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location. And no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit supples.net or call them today at 319-337-2246.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795, and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaines and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what here for you means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement here for you, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
The Oxyoke Inn is ready to serve you with the same fresh food, prepared to order, and served with a passion that you've come to expect since 1940. Serving our famous Sunday brunch buffet with lunch, dinner, family-style banquets, and carry-out daily. Reservations are easy at oxyokin.com or call for big or small tables and private rooms. We can't wait to serve you soon at the Oxyoke Inn.
The Oxyoke Inn.
In the heart of Amana.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In the stalemate over reopening the Strait of Hormuz, Iran isn't backing down. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
And emboldened, Iran says they will not reopen the critical waterway unless the U.S., quote, corrects its behavior. And Iran is putting out a list of sweeping demands, including calling for the U.S. to lift its naval blockade and sanctions, withdraw U.S. troops from around Iran, reimburse them for the cost of the war, and release frozen Iranian assets, conditions that are seen as non-starters.
Nearly 100 large fires are currently burning nationwide, most of them in the West, where more than 3 million acres have been scorched this summer. Parts of Puerto Rico are in severe drought. Hundreds of thousands of people in San Juan and other cities are having to ration water. It's being cut off 48 hours at a time. The World Health Organization is saying today that the Ebola outbreak likely started in the Congo back in February, months before it was officially declared. This is ABC News.
KCJJ Weather. Brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
A lingering shower or thundershower this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy today with a high right around 86 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening. Low of 71, becoming mostly cloudy with an isolated shower or thundershower late tomorrow night or right around daybreak tomorrow. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 88. With more thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable on the Mighty 1630 KCJJ. Temperature now 81.
From the Hertin and Stocker Studios in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the Mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making
We're back.
We are.
I said the F word at least three times during the break.
At least.
He said it a couple.
I just blocked anybody from commenting pro or con on the
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
There you go. You
should have done it to begin with.
You're taking a stand.
Yeah, well, you know, there is really no reason for that to represent the station's listenership, a few people. That don't know how, and you know, like Eric wanted to push the limit, and he pushed the limit by pushing himself right out of the page.
Now, who's to say he's not? Who's to say he's not up 5 minutes later under a different name? Can he just sign up under a different name?
Sure, and then I'll ban him again.
But how will you know it's him unless he starts?
You won't see. All I was telling them is that
move on from that conversation.
You will not see if you post that stuff. It might appear to you
so
like
you weren't
posted
blocking
it.
Them. You were just making it so others didn't have to see them.
Yeah.
Kind of like muting them in a way.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if they post that stuff, they'll see it on their page, but no one else will see it.
Then how can you see it because you're a mod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how that stuff works.
Yeah, I will see it, but it will be blanked out of everybody else's page.
Yeah,
so
like
the only ones that'll see it are me and them.
Like when you mute somebody on Twitter, you don't see their stuff, but they can still see your stuff. And they don't know that they're muted, whereas if you block somebody, they know you blocked them. So there's a little difference there. So, yeah, that's your call.
Yeah, that's all I was telling
them. It's amazing,
though,
what some
people
waste.
Why waste your time if you got a point to make?
Monday
morning, use those words to make it.
I don't know why people, some of the stuff people argue about in chat rooms and messages.
I don't know.
It just wears me out.
I post less and less. I've been posting a lot of pictures and stuff because it helps me with what I'm going through. But other than that, I'm so sick of social media.
I mean, politics and my thing is politics and Caitlin Clark. That's my, and now they're intermingled because people are so desperate for Caitlin to take a side on this trans thing.
Yeah.
And she's not going to do it.
No, she's not going to do it.
Good for her.
And now,
did Megyn Kelly call her a coward? There's yes. I saw somebody tweet that she called her a coward for not taking a stand.
A coward, yeah.
To me, that's not the definition of coward. I mean, that's common sense. She doesn't want to get involved. She doesn't want to feed either side's narrative.
She wants to play basketball.
She wants to play basketball and be left alone just because she's... People will argue, well, she's all over State Farm commercials. That doesn't mean she needs to start... Comment on every social issue out there.
It's a commercial.
Well, people think that once you become famous and established that, you know, your opinion matters on everything. And no, it really doesn't.
No,
I don't care what she thinks about trans
athletes. It could cost her endorsements, too.
But again, for me, I don't care what famous people think about issues.
No.
I just don't.
I'm not famous, don't get me wrong. But when I make comments and stuff, I've always said to people, you know, it's my opinion. You don't have to like it or agree with it or anything, and you don't have to listen.
Opinion.
Yeah.
The listeners have the power. Well, I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it. Goodbye. You know, I mean, people listen to me because they want to, for some reason, they want to hear me rant. And sometimes I just rant to rant because I know that's what people expect. You know? I mean, that's when I don't rant. I've gone days when I don't rant, and are you doing okay? Is everything? You didn't say anything about it. And then they bring up news articles that they think will incense me.
Karen Cubby had the best quote one time.
Yeah.
She said, you know, when Captain Steve's on one of his rants and you agree with him, and say, you go, boy. You know, tell it like it is. And then she said, when you're... He's doing something against how you feel. You say, why don't you just shut up?
And that's how it is.
Well, of course
everything.
It is.
Yeah.
But this stuff on social media with Caitlin now after every game.
Well, then they took back her technical. And
Which they should have. I think they were going to do that. Yeah, I was not surprised.
You know, but people are making that even a political.
Well, and there's also people ripping the ref. You know, the ref overreacted. I think she... interpreted Caitlin's body contact wrong. We could see we had a much better view than the ref did because she was right there. It was just all within the just her body movement of spinning around. And but yeah, I figured they would take that one back, and they did.
Yeah,
they did. And but yeah, that was an interesting game because I mean they won the game as they should have. They're better than Chicago, but boy, they got sloppy in that second half.
They did.
They got to play better when they're ahead.
Yeah, they build these big leads and then they. Give them back.
They do. And a lot of it's just turnovers. I mean, just so many stupid turnovers. Now, in fairness to Caitlin, she had 6 turnovers, but at least 2 were the fault of the person she was throwing to. I mean, that one to Hines Allen in traffic in the lane was a tough catch. But at that level, when the ball's put perfectly placed, for all you got to do is catch it above your head and turn and try to shoot a layup, she should have caught that ball, at least to avoid Caitlin getting a turnover.
Yeah.
But Caitlin also had, especially later in the game, there was one she forced to, I think, Aaliyah Boston in transition, and it turned into a turnover. That was not a smart play, and I think Caitlin knew it. I mean, she's always pushing the envelope as far as trying things, but there's times when maybe you need to back off a little bit and work the clock when you have a lead. But they were able to pull that one out. And, God, then I watched, you know, everyone rips the NBA for load management. Now I watched the game, the New York Liberty versus Las Vegas, and the Liberty won by 40, and I'm like, Jesus. Then I find out that Asia Wilson, their 3 best players didn't play because they played previous day.
That's right.
Isn't that load management?
Yeah, that's exactly
and
what
I
it
just,
is.
And, you know,
and
it's easy
Becky
for me
Hammond
to
said.
It's easy for me to sit here and say that, but to me, aren't players built to play back-to-back games? It's not like we're asking them to go down in the coal mines and dig for 10 hours, and or am I just completely out of touch here? I don't get that. You can't play on back-to-back days. I'm guessing if they just were able to play basketball on their own, I mean, you always see people go over and I know it's not the same, but go over and play rec basketball for 10 hours, you know, play, and the body can take that even though it's at a completely different level. But all this load management with the WNBA is pushing all this back-to-back. Oh, God, they have a back-to-back.
Well, the Fever's got one coming up next week.
And I would expect Caitlin to play in both games, wouldn't you?
Caitlin would want to play in both
games. I'm sure she would. I don't get the load management in the WNBA. They have a 44-game schedule. I mean... I don't get that. So maybe somebody can explain it to me. Their 3 best players are out and they lose by 40. That was basically they were just throwing that game away, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
To rest their 3 best players because they had played the previous day. I don't get it.
No, I
I mean, the NBA's taking a lot of grief for load management.
You know, if you'd spend a couple hundred bucks to go to that game, if you're a Aces fan, I'd be pissed.
I would, yeah. No, I would be too. Now, I think, was it in New York or was it in Las Vegas? I think it was in New York.
Because Vegas
is on a long road trip, and that may be part of it too. But still, again, it just seems like playing a basketball game on two consecutive days to me isn't asking that much for a professional athlete.
The league just doesn't seem to have...
Well, I think they got to get new leadership.
It's S together.
I think they got to get new leadership. What's her name? Kathy Engelbrecht? I think her ship has sailed. That's just me.
Yeah.
I don't know who they would get. What if Nick Saban came in and just started running the dough, just being mean to everyone? I mean, that would be interesting. But I have a feeling that that's going to be the next step, is they're probably going to get new leadership at the top.
I think they need to, because they don't realize what they have achieved now.
Yeah, and I just think some of the things that they've handled, it's taken too long for them to make decisions and what have you. But we'll see. I mean, I've been hearing that her job was on the ropes for over the last year. And and she was, I guess she was very successful in the business world prior to coming to the WNBA. They said what her job was prior to coming here. So I'm not saying she's not qualified. It's just something just doesn't seem to be working right now at the top for the WNBA. But no, when I saw that all three of those players sat out, I'm like, that just seems kind of...
I know. I saw that score, and I go, what the hell?
It was 40 points.
That explains it.
But that would be like Caitlin, Aaliyah Boston, and Kelsey Mitchell all sitting out the day after playing a game the previous day. And to me, if I was a fan, I'd be pissed.
And the Fever ain't going to win if that happens.
Well, no. And as a fan, I'd be upset that they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... No, football playing back-to-back days, yes, that's a little... irrational, but basketball is not football, in my opinion. It's just completely different. It's wear and tear on the body, but, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't understand that.
I'm with you.
I just don't think the league understands its popularity and how...
Well, I don't think
how to market it.
Well, I don't think they understand how to handle Caitlin's in a different class than everybody else, and they're trying not to acknowledge that, even though she is. I mean, she just is. I'm not saying she's necessarily the best.
No.
But nobody else is anywhere near as popular as her. It's not even close. Olivia Miles included. And I think Caitlin has played at a high enough level to where that status hasn't changed. Now, if Caitlin all of a sudden starts averaging 12-5 and they're losing, her star endorsements would start to fall. She's played well enough. Like right now, if you asked me who the WNBA all-first team backcourt would be, mine would be Caitlin and Olivia Miles. Those would be my first two. Paige Beckers would be she would be the next one in line. She had 23-8. She's very consistent. But I think Caitlin and Olivia Miles are the best backcourt right now going, and they could play together because they're both so talented.
Yeah, and Kelsey Mitchell has to be considered too.
She would be in there too, but I still would pick. I still think Kelsey Mitchell is a great scorer.
Yes, she is.
But Caitlin is a great scorer, great passer. And both of them are okay on defense. I think Caitlin's a little more well-rounded. If it came down to picking Caitlin or Kelsey for that second, to me it starts with Olivia Miles. I think she's been the best guard in the WNBA this year, just from everything, just her ability to get to the basket, how much they're winning, how much they won without Nafisha Collier. But Caitlin's right there with her. Those would be my first two picks for first-team WNBA this year.
Well, Caitlin's the only one in the top five in assists and scoring. No, nobody else is.
But there is something about Caitlin, and it's like, I don't know. There's something about, even when she plays poorly, that people are just drawn to Caitlin. And I mean, the ratings of these games.
But it would change if she played poorly over an extended period. It would change.
Well, yeah, the ratings would go down.
Yeah, and as far as stats, Olivia Miles' stats are so close to Caitlin. They're different.
They're good.
I mean, she averages more steals.
Yeah.
And I mean, their stats to me, they're scoring 19.8 as opposed to, they're almost identical scoring. Caitlin averages 8 assists. I think Olivia Miles averages, last time I looked at it, like 6.4.
6 point something, yeah.
Yeah. So their stats to me cancel each other out. I just think Olivia Miles, what she did without Nafisha Collier, I think she might be the MVP this year. That's who I think they're going to end up picking, because she's very popular like Caitlin too.
She'll definitely be the rookie of the year.
That's not even close. I mean, she'll be first team all WNBA, And I think she's, I don't think right now, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I don't think right now Caitlin is a lock for first team. I think Olivia Miles is. I think Olivia, and I'm not saying that's fair or whatever, but I think right now she's been the most consistent. And I don't, has she missed any games with injuries this year?
I have no idea.
I don't think she has. But no, she's been, I mean, yesterday I think she, what'd she have, 26-8?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, she's, and they're by far the best team. They're 27-7 right now.
No doubt about that.
So now I'm not convinced they're going to win it all. I mean, but that would, they would be my pick to win it all. But man, the Valkyries are really good.
They really are.
Their defense is really good, and they're 23-9 now, I believe. And that,
well, that coach is,
she's a really good defensive coach. And what Gabby Williams is, she's got to be the defensive player of the year in the league this year, I would think. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Right now, are you confident that the Fever will win the WNBA title? I'm not.
No. I would take the field.
Hello.
I would definitely take the field. Would you
Good morning, everybody. Great topic. Just going to weigh in on the Caitlin thing and Fever. Back to your point about pulling out Asia Wilson and those other two for the game yesterday. Clearly, I think as you guys sort of insinuated, they, you know, they know they got it locked up to go in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I think we're going to see more of that because they just no concern for anything else other than save themselves up for the playoffs, which you're totally right. It sort of defeats the fair play or whatever you want to call it for the fans. But and then the other thing I wanted to mention is it really bugs me regarding Caitlin that they take her defense away from her. Stephanie White has been doing that all along, and I can't remember, maybe you went back to last year too, but and I can kind of understand it when Caitlin's got a lot of fouls and you're trying to preserve her offense for that last-second shot or last-minute shot. But when she doesn't have a lot of fouls, I think she's got a lot to contribute on defense, and you can see that when it's late in the game and she's low on fouls or doesn't have a lot of fouls, and she'll make a key steal. I think she did that yesterday or that last game. She made a real key steal late in the game.
She did.
And also you take away that ability for her to throw that long full court assist pass to lead for to an important basket late in the game by pulling her out on defense. I just think that they need to give her a little more look on her defense rather than just automatically saying, oh, we're pulling her out late in the game and just going to sub her back in on offense every time. Interesting to see what you guys have to say on that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. I sort of agree with that, but the reason they're taking her out in those situations is because the person they're putting in
is a better defender. Yeah.
So
they're playing the percentages.
They're playing the percentages. I mean, Caitlin is a, don't get me wrong, she's great. She's not a great defender. She's okay. She's got long arms. She's got good reach and anticipation. Like the caller said, she can generate some steals. Caitlin's problem is keeping quick guards in front of her.
Yeah.
She struggles to do that. You notice she didn't guard Olivia Miles.
No.
Because Olivia Miles would drive by her. Caitlin's got limitations in that regard. Lisa did a great job at Iowa of sort of hiding that, but Lisa also, is, they had so much offense that defense was not their priority. They were not a great defensive team when she was here.
No.
But I do get what you're saying, but I, you know, when she doesn't have a lot of fouls, I still don't have a problem with them putting Sophie Cunningham, or especially Lexi Hole, who's especially, Lexi's a better defender.
Yes,
she just is. And I think that's why they do it. But I also get what you're saying. You want to see more of Caitlin. I get it. And there are times when they get a steal on defense and all of a sudden Lexi Hole goes from being the defender to an offensive player without a stoppage in play. You wish you had Caitlin in then.
You bet.
But you don't. I get what you're saying. So
no, there's two sides to that
there,
coin.
There is two sides. But the reason they're doing it is because these others are better defenders. They just clearly are.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I think Caitlin would admit that.
Yeah. But Caitlin's a competitor, and she wants to play.
But she was never known for her defense at Iowa.
No.
Never.
Well, no, she even said, you know, I want to thank, partially tongue-in-cheek, but I want to thank
Gabby
for
covering for me.
Yes, exactly.
Which she often did.
Yeah, covering for me.
But
for
I get what this caller's saying, that, you know, if you do get a steal, then Caitlin's not in there. Then there you are blowing a late-game possession when your best offensive player or one of your best offensive players isn't in there because you're making these percentage substitutions. So there is two sides to it.
Yeah, for sure. So,
and I love Kelsey Mitchell, don't get me wrong, but there are times where I get frustrated because I do think there's times where she hunts shots.
Well, that's just absolutely.
And I get it,
does.
It's part of her game, but there's times where, you know, I wish it was Caitlin hunting shots
at
times. Now, in fairness, Kelsey's a better three-level scorer than Caitlin. She's got a much better mid-range game. Caitlin's getting better. If you notice, though, she's starting to score more driving to her right.
She sure is.
She's starting to score more in the mid-range game, but she still has a lot of work to do at that level. And she's starting to get to the basket more than she did. Will she ever be as good as Olivia Miles at getting to the basket? No, they're just different types of players, different quickness. But yep. Caitlin is starting to expand her game offensively to where she's not just a layup or a 30-footer. You know, and at Iowa, she didn't do a ton of mid-range scoring.
No.
She just didn't.
Mm-mm.
And but she's starting to add that part of her game, and I just and again I'm so it's so bizarre that she struggles to score going to her right. The fact that she's right-handed, because not to compare it to myself,
again, it's counterintuitive.
Well, you can only speak of your own experiences too. I could barely score going to my left, and opponents knew that. I could score going to my right. I love taking two dribbles to my right and rising up and shooting a jump shot. Caitlin does not like that. There's countless times where she'll take two dribbles to her right, have the defender kind of playing behind her, and she won't rise up and shoot. Whereas going to her left, she'll take two dribbles, then take a huge step back and shoot. And I'm saying to myself, you could make a much easier shot going, but she's just not comfortable. Her muscle memory and whatever is not comfortable going to her right and shooting. And I just find that odd, because that's about all I could do.
Yeah, it is.
Caitlin is often lazy on defense.
I don't know if lazy is the right word. There may be some times where she's catching her breath or whatever, but lazy seems a little critical, but I can see why her critics would maybe say that. I mean, she's going to, if she's going to take a break and get a, you know, a little breath of air, it's going to be on defense, not offense.
For sure.
Because of the type of player she is.
Yep.
There's so much is expected from her on offense. And again, Kelsey Mitchell, don't get me wrong, great player, but Kelsey's main concern every game is going in and scoring and taking a volume shots. Caitlin's got to run the offense, has to score, has to distribute, has so much more responsibility than Kelsey Mitchell. But again, Kelsey Mitchell is a great scorer.
She is, and she's a – but, boy, that's kind of a black hole when she gets the ball.
And there's times where she over-dribbles, and, you know, it just and it just kind of bogs things down. And lots of times, though, she'll compensate by making a tough shot and what have you. So, but, yeah, it's – Kelsey Mitchell, my guess is, if I had to guess right now, and this will be a huge controversy, I'm guessing Olivia Miles and Kelsey Mitchell are going to be the first team All-Big Ten backcourt. Or all Big Ten, all WNBA. Don't they go by positions like the NBA does?
I think so.
That'll be a S-storm. It'll be Caitlin worshippers will be bitching, and her haters will be, oh, this was their, and it'll just be more of the same. Do you agree with that, that it's going to be Mitchell? And
no, not necessarily. I think it's going to depend on how the rest of the season
goes. Oh, yeah, they're still – I'm just saying, if the season ended right now,
today,
I think Olivia Miles and Kelsey Mitchell would be the first. I'm not saying it's right.
I think
it's
very possible.
I think it would be – the and then Caitlin and Paige Beckers would be the second team.
Yeah, Paige has kind of had a – I mean, she's had
team,
some good games.
Their team has struggled a little bit, but she – I mean, she had 23-8 yesterday.
She had better
and
game.
Her stats are incredible. I mean, her – she gets better with every quarter. She's so consistent. And – she, like Caitlin, has that national appeal. She's probably the closest thing to Caitlin. I see she's doing a commercial for Dodge Trucks now. She plays that role. She does it all right with the cowboy hat on.
They're really, really good with handling, you know, commercials and the public. And, you know, I mean, that's where they really, Caitlin leaving. You know, leaving the game, still signing autographs as she
she's great at that.
She left. Yes, she is.
And a lot of them are good at that.
And Paige does that too.
Caitlin signs autographs before games too.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can find things to criticize Caitlin for, but for the most part, I think she's a class act who conducts herself well. And again, I don't care what she thinks about trans athletes in sports. I just don't care.
She did, though, sign one autograph seekers with an X.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and that person's going to remember it for the rest of their lives.
When Caitlin passes at 86, 60 years from now.
Yep. I sent Tom yesterday. I said, you should have held on to that X. Maybe it was worth something.
But again, nobody, unless you had it authorized, how would they believe you?
Well, he did put it on his picture in the program.
And there's ways you could get, I mean, aren't there ways you can get stuff that you would have to have done that
sure.
immediately? You would have to have done that immediately, but you had no way of knowing that Don Nelson was going to end up being a 5-time NBA champion and one of the best coaches that the league's seen for a while. So, I mean, he was great at Iowa, but you didn't know it was going to stretch way beyond that. He really had quite a life. He really did.
Well, he hadn't been great at Iowa yet. Not quite.
Yeah, no, his last 2 years he was great at Iowa. I mean, he scored a lot of points. He scored a lot of points. Who was his coach was Sharm Sherman, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was in between Bucky O'Connor and Ralph Miller, wasn't he?
And Sharm Sherman's mother
and
also taught at our elementary school.
Yeah, Charm Sherman was from Moline.
Yeah. Taught in our elementary.
My guess is that probably helped Don Nelson pick Iowa, the fact that Charm Sherman was from the same hometown. And yeah. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Could be.
So, but yeah, I was sad to see that he passed. But so many have I looked up Alex Karras. I think Alex Karras has been dead since 2012 or something like that.
It's been a while.
You think about that. That's 14 years ago. I thought that's what the date said. I could be getting it mixed up with I looked up Bob Brooks recently, too. Bob passed away in 2000. Bob Brooks has been gone for a decade, Tom.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy when you think about it, how fast time goes.
I mean, Alex was in his 70s when he passed, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was in his 70s, and he had some rough latter years.
77. He died in 2012.
2012.
October the 10th.
So that was 14. I mean, he would be 91 years old right now if he was still alive.
Yeah.
We're doing a moment of silence?
Yes.
That was a moment of silence.
Well, they bring up, you would think they're going to bring up his, the first thing they bring up is he was...
banned from the league for gambling.
The adopted father of Webster Long in the series, Webster.
Wasn't it Papadakis or something like that? Papalopicus or something like that, wasn't that? Yeah.
I don't know.
But wasn't he was banned for a year in the NFL from gambling, wasn't he? For gambling.
Paul Hornung?
He and Paul Hornung and what have you. But I'll tell you, Alex Karras did okay for himself. Gary, Indiana. He had a brother that played here too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go back to your comments on Don Nelson. One of the things I think that made Don so good, and you touched on it a little bit, but that was back in the day when post players played in a low post and didn't move, and he at 6'6", was able to get out on the floor a little bit.
He was a forward,
he as a forward, and that game against Ohio State and Jerry Lucas was classic. He and Jerry Lucas almost went toe to toe, point for point, in a great game.
And that was without four of his starters. Remember, he had lost four of his starters when he played Ohio State that game, because that was part of John Campbell's little feature they did on him when he came back to Iowa to get his degree.
Yeah, one of the things I think would be interesting is what happened to those four starters and that were declared ineligible, and I think you'll find that most of them went on and had extremely successful careers. Executives in the business world.
Really?
I think you're right.
It's really a shame.
I don't even know the names. I mean, who? Can you tell me the names of who they were?
Was Ron Zager?
I'm sorry.
Was one of them?
Rennemaker, Remington, Joe Remington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was one. I'm sorry. I'd have to go back and
research. I'll research. That could be an interesting story. Now, I'm assuming. Think any of them are still alive?
I do not know.
That would be an interesting story to research.
It seems to me that one was an executive with Sears, another one with Walgreens, I don't know. I'll have to research that and find out. The other thing, Tom, going back from remembering that era, 61-62 season, was the one they lost those starters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that also was going to be the first year of eligibility for Connie Hawkins.
Right.
And I can remember all the hype going into that season is that Iowa would be the hands-down favorite to win the Big Ten, even with Jerry Lucas and Havlicek and Siegfried at Ohio State. But unfortunately, that never happened.
Yeah, Don Nelson and Connie Hawkins would have been a nice 1-2 punch.
You think?
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah.
What could have been.
Yep. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for the
call.
All right,
thank you.
Yeah, the Connie Hawkins, that's one of the biggest what-ifs in the history of Iowa Hawkeye sports.
Boy, it sure as hell is.
What are some other ones? That's probably number one. I did a what-if thing a while back. What are you looking for?
Ron Zager's information. I just can't remember if he was one of the guys held out or if he was one of the guys that
I mean, the media guide lists the starting lineups from those years. I could go back and look, but I don't know if would it list the four guys that were academically ineligible at the end of the
season. You would think it should.
It should, but I'm not. I'll have to go back and look. I do have media guides I can look because I'm pretty sure even back that far they list the starting lineups from each season.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mike Aiden.
Hey Mike.
Hey, I got a couple quick Don Nelson stories that are pretty neat.
Okay.
He called me and he said, Mike, I need 10 hotel rooms weekend of graduation in 2012. Call me in April. And I said, Don, I'll call John Streif and we'll get those rooms for you. What's up? He said, I'm going to graduate. And I go, you never graduated? He said, no, I got into pro ball, and I didn't do my practicum, my student teaching or whatever. And then a teammate, I can't think of his name, black attorney in Des Moines.
Nolan Gentry?
Nolan Gentry.
Yeah, he was great.
Nolan Gentry.
Talked to the liberal arts and said, do you think his playing in the NBA and coaching the NBA would suffice for his student teaching? They said yes.
So
John Streif got him 10 hotel rooms, and he came in with a busload of family, and he came to basketball practice. He had his picture taken in his cap and gown with three of the Hawkeyes graduating. That
I remember that.
May of 2012,
yeah.
One being Matt, Bryce Cartwright, and Brommer.
Okay.
And it was a real moment for those kids they Googled him or read about him. And it was really neat. I got to know him through the years through Charm and everything. And then in 1970, I was lucky enough to go up to Campion Jesuit High School at Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. There was a Jerry West camp and a Don Nelson camp. Well, I knew which one I wanted to go to. So I'm a sophomore in high school, going to be a junior. And if you wanted to play one-on-one against Don Nelson, you could. And he was 8 years out of Iowa in the middle of his pro career. And that did not go real well for me when I played one-on-one against I'm 6'8", he was 6'6". And he... let's just say it didn't go real well for me.
So did he play as hard as he could? Did he not hold back?
I cannot answer that question, but I know what the other guy played as hard as he could.
Okay.
And that was me. I played as hard as I could. And he was playing. We were going at it, but who knows? But Don Nelson was 6'6". And if you watch him in those old films that, you know, with the Celtics and even Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Charm said his dad said, okay, you get your 200 left-handed layups in today, Charm. He'd be out there in the snow doing left-handed layups, and he mentored Don Nelson through high school. And absolutely, somebody said, do you think Charm had an influence on him coming to Iowa? Don Nelson was going nowhere else.
Interesting.
But Iowa.
Okay. Okay.
And one of the guys, Wayne Hogan said one of them was Dave Maher. Dave Maher from Iowa City, St. Mary's, was on that team, didn't get to play in that game, and he became, I think, corporate president of that pharmacy company.
Was Dave one of the guys that was scholastically ineligible?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
J. Patrick White knew him and confirmed. I saw J. Patrick today. He said, yeah, Dave Maher was. Maher was one of them, and he became, I knew he'd become president of a huge, it wasn't Walgreens, but it was one of those.
Okay. Interesting story.
Yeah, those guys, you know, that happens. That happens.
Well, what do you think of Don Nelson's explanation for how he stayed eligible? Did you hear what he said to John Campbell?
Say?
He said he took easy classes. The other guys took, for some reason, these idiots took hard classes. He said that back in 2012. He goes, you know, one of them had the nerve to take advanced calculus. Of course you're going to flunk it. That's what Don Nelson was. Wow. Just his approach was hilarious.
Absolutely. You know what Don Nelson did the last 10 years?
Smoked weed.
Lived in Well, lived in Hawaii.
Yep.
With Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm. They were in the medicinal marijuana yeah. business. And Don Nelson was, he was just a wonderful man. I was lucky enough to be around him 3 or 4 times. And, oh, man, R.I.P. Just a wonderful, for wonderful sure. man.
And the fact that he won 5 NBA titles and hung around for 14 years. And, Mike, I remember, like I said earlier, when I started watching TV, he was in the latter years of it. He was a 34th, and yet he still, I remember him rising up in the lane and shooting those mid-range jumpers with his right hand and still was effective in the mid-70s. You know, I mean, he was still doing it in his 30s.
And he was good with his left hand because of Sharm Sherman. Another off the subject, I was with the gentleman, Tom, that gave you that book about Mason City baseball to see.
Yes, uh-huh.
That your dad coached to state championship in 1946.
Yes.
This Saturday morning, early in the morning, I was up in Charles City with one of Julie's reunions, and that Randy Christensen is in Julie's class. That is a beautiful book he put together. And your father, who was a mentor to a lot of people here in Iowa City, he was one of the finest gentlemen I have ever met in my life, your father. And to get to play baseball for him and win a state championship like those kids did had to be unbelievable. And then a few years later, he was second in command in administration here at Iowa Athletics.
Yeah.
And your dad was,
yeah.
man, was he a special guy. Oh, man.
I appreciate you saying that. And, of course, I'm a little biased on that subject.
Well, we all are when it's your father.
But, you know, the other thing is I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Bud Suter, and that you can't say that about too many people.
No, yeah. Kind of like John Streiff.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Pat. I mean, it would be impossible. I mean, it's not possible to say anything bad about Bud Suter. No, that's a real good comparison.
Here's another one, Tom Davis. Tom Davis. I've never. Have you ever heard anyone say anything bad about Tom Davis?
No,
I never have.
No, no, those. No, you're talking about those three are on a definite.
Even people
level
that didn't like him as the Iowa coach, I remember them saying, "You know, I can't find anything wrong with the man, the person. Tom Davis is about as good and gracious as a person as you can get."
I was just slapped into reality. You know,
Remember when the guys would come off the floor and they hadn't played well, which happens once in a while, and he'd be clapping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he'd be clapping, talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Pearl told me one time he kind of got after somebody during a game, and he said, "Mike, Tom called me in and said, Bruce, that's practice in the locker room, never in a game."
Yes. Oh, I've heard that he rode players in practice, but that was not in front of thousands of people. You know, I mean, he knew a time and place. He was still a coach. I mean, he had a breaking point as a coach, but just incredibly gracious is what I will always say about Tom Davis.
Oh. A total gentleman. I was lucky enough, other than Matt, when Matt was playing, I'd go to practices. I saw Rick Mount warm up as a junior when I was in junior high. And I'd go to all the practices other than when Matt was playing. And I'd go, Tom Davis, I could, wow. I mean, yes, he did. He got on him. And he would see things. He would point out 8 things. And I'm sitting there, and I didn't see one of them. I didn't see one thing that he had pointed out. That tells me I was following the ball, and he was seeing the entire game.
No, I think Iowa was fortunate to have him.
Yeah,
well, for sure.
I just
how
realized
many years did we have him?
13.
We had France. 13.
Yeah, and Fran for 14.
15, I think.
14 for Fran.
Hey, Mike.
Offered for 7.
Yes, sir.
I just realized I'm older than you.
Look in the mirror. So you'd be convinced.
But no, Alford for 7, Fran for 14, and Dr. Tom for 13, Licklider for 3.
And Ralph Miller for 5, and Coach Olson for 9.
Yeah, Lute was 9, Evie yeah. was 9. Hayden was 20. Of course, Kirk's entering 28.
Crazy.
Ralph Miller was only 5 years.
Yeah, but they're sure yeah. 5 good years or for the most part.
And didn't
yeah.
we all agree
great
that
teams.
Didn't Evie kind of drive him away in some ways? Didn't we all kind of?
Oh, absolutely. of those.
Reached that conclusion. And Evie's daughter didn't deny it either. He just didn't want to deal with Evie, right?
No, but books could be written about. Let's hope we can keep Coach McCollum. I mean, what a job he did. What a fantastic job. You know, he could have said the same thing. When he got the job at Iowa, I thought, you could say the same thing that Cignetti said at Indiana.
Yeah.
Google me. I win.
Yes, that's right.
But he didn't, because he's a little different in his approach.
Well, no, he didn't. He does. He doesn't. And God bless him. Just keep winning.
That's the key. Got to keep winning.
Yep. And let's hope he does.
No matter how
good, interesting.
No matter how good of a person you are, if you don't keep winning, you're going to eventually get the axe. That's just how it works. It's a business.
What have you done for me lately?
Yes. I mean, two years of losing, then you are on the hot seat no matter who you are in football and men's basketball. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Fair or not.
It's crazy world we're in. But, you know, I think through the years, through the months, people are realizing that you can talk about what's going on now and not liking everything, but we have to embrace it. We have to embrace it because it's here forever. And as soon as we get the NBA and NFL model in our systems in college athletics, the better we'll be off, because that's what it is.
Well, you're talking about a salary cap. You're talking mostly about a salary cap for athletic departments.
Well, and contracts, and you know, everything, everything. It's just it's the major, and it's NFL, NBA, and we have to have those rules. So we have some rules, and just that's a pretty good plan they have. Their system works pretty good. The system we have now is chaotic.
It's
no,
ridiculous.
There really is no system. I just wish it would not have to involve politicians getting involved. To me, the NCAA should be able to do this on their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't need the government. They're involved enough. We don't need the government. Just adapt what they do, and we'll do that and get on with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's stopping them from not doing
that. Well, there's some of the power-to-bes, like Ohio State fans I've seen. They think that will even the playing field. Even if Ohio State can only spend the same amount of money, they're still going to recruit better players because they're Ohio State.
And they're still going to be under the table money,
and
folks.
There still will be, because that's human nature.
Right.
But Ohio State's all of a sudden not going to stop recruiting 4 and 5 stars because they're playing on the same playing field as everyone else. And they got a much better recruiting base and everything. So it's not going to but I wouldn't have a problem with the have-nots narrowing the gap a little bit with the haves. I mean, you need some of that in sports.
Huh.
You need more parity.
You know, it used to be... Well, you know, as we all know, it used to be big two, little eight.
Yeah, until Hayden
came. Right, you're correct. I'm afraid it could become the big six, little 12, because of dollars. I mean, these dollar figures, I believe one person when I hear about these dollars. I really do.
Well, Kirk brought that up at Media Day last 2 weeks ago about here. He's concerned that we're going back to the 70s. Prior to Iowa breaking the stranglehold, he's concerned with the current setup. And, you know, Kirk's all for getting more structure, and he wants 24 teams in the playoff, and I get all that. So they've got – but I just – to save the College Sports Act that Ted Cruz – I just don't think it should be these guys doing it. We don't need to have politicians dipping their toes in this. That's just me.
Absolutely. They'll figure it out. Hey, thanks for everything.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the call. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Captain.
Yeah.
Captain.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture, but don't put it up against the mirror. The mirror will break.
Wow.
The mirror will break. That is harsh.
See you guys.
All right. As long as we're still kind of on the subject of Don Nelson, the Hustlin' Hawks, which was that team, 18-6. 10-4 in the Big Ten, finished second and eighth in the final AP poll.
And I think they were 12-1 when those guys were declared. I think they were really rolling when those guys were declared ineligible. Now, did Ohio State even lose a game that year?
Well, they were terrific. They probably lost.
See, the story was that Iowa, everyone thought, had a chance to compete against Ohio State. And then when those four guys became, they couldn't keep it up. But they still had a good season. They only played 24 games back then. That's crazy.
Isn't that something?
Crazy when you think about it. And
no postseason.
And they didn't have any postseason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, but no, Ohio State, that was also, wasn't Bobby Knight on Ohio State's teams then, too?
He was.
He wasn't a start. He wasn't very good. He was okay. He was a role player on those teams.
Was that Havlicek?
Havlicek and Jerry Lucas were the main
And Mel
two.
Noel and
I don't
them.
Remember him. Yeah. I just remember Havlicek and Lucas. And I remember them because I was old enough to remember them, like Nelson, at the tail end of their NBA careers. When I first started watching John Havlicek play in the mid-70s, he was 30, he was, you know, he was 35 years old, and he was still getting it done. So, yeah, Don Nelson averaged like 21, 22 points a game for that team
yeah,
that
he
year.
Was incredible.
Yeah, and that was Sharm Sherman's best year as the Iowa coach.
Yes.
Because he didn't last long, did he, Sharm?
No, not really.
Because once Don was gone, didn't they start to struggle?
Yeah.
And then was he replaced by Ralph Miller?
I think it was Dick Schultz, wasn't it?
No, Dick Schultz was after Ralph. Dick Schultz was prior to Lou Dolson. He was
okay.
coaching in the 70s.
Then, yeah, it must be.
And then Chris Perball, who did he play for?
Ralph, yeah. I believe.
He was
wonderful.
He's an underrated Iowa player if you want to go way back. Chris Perball was a really good guard who I thought his style of play was a little ahead of his time from the video I've seen of him. He was at Iowa in like 62 to 65, wasn't he, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I don't know if it was quite that long. He was a juco,
but he averaged,
if I recall.
But he averaged like 16, 17 points a game. He was a good player. But yeah, no, it's always fun to talk about the good old days. And Mike was right. I remember Don, didn't he do a podcast with Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
About the benefits of
yes.
cannabis and what have
yeah.
you. I thought I remember them doing some type of podcast. They'd get together once a week and just have fun. And because Willie Nelson lived out there too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they were partners in the business.
And Willie, yet here's Willie Nelson. He's I think you looked him up. He's 91, isn't he?
Yeah, so yeah.
And doesn't he still tour?
He
sort
does,
of?
But his kid does a lot of this. I mean, he's still up there. He's still performing, but the kids in the band, they do a lot of the entertaining.
And I heard that McCartney song coming. Is that just his recent release?
Yes.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell his age.
Well, yeah.
His voice is aged, but I think it works for that song, to be honest. No, I like it.
It's still a good, he's still a good song.
I mean, the fact that he can put that together, that was a very enjoyable song driving in.
Yeah.
His pipes aren't what they were, anywhere near to what they were.
No, but
his songwriting's still strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just.
But he's 84, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 2 years younger than Don Nelson.
Yeah.
Who smoked more weed, Nelson or McCartney?
Nelson.
Probably.
Nelson's smoking it right now.
up in heaven? He's up not, there with Jim Morrison.
No, yeah.
So,
I don't think he'd care for Jim Morrison.
You never know. You never know. Now, again, let's see. We won't have a show Friday. You have an auction.
Right.
Yeah. Friday's actually Iowa Football Media Day, too, so we'll have a lot to discuss on Saturday, and we'll, you know, we can still talk about we got Wednesday's show. What's the title of this auction?
Back to school auction.
Oh, yeah. Back to school. All right. God, it is almost time for back to school.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think I'll change it to the Suter didn't get Nelson's autograph.
There
auction.
You go. Doesn't school at Iowa start 2 weeks from today, or do they usually start on Tuesday?
No, they'll start the 24th, whenever that is.
That's a Monday, I think.
Because the 23rd's the end of the fair.
14th is a Friday. So 24th is two weeks from today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're 2 weeks away from the semester starting.
Yeah, because the fair ends incredible. On that Sunday, the 23rd.
The fair's from the 13th to the 23rd.
Yeah, they're not allowed to start till the end of the fair.
Starting to see a few, not as many as Ashley Henson ads, but I'm starting to see a few state fair ads, but the Ashley Henson ads are nonstop. It's just, it's all day.
Yeah.
She must be spending millions of dollars on advertising.
Well, she's got it.
Yeah, I mean, she obviously does. So, but no, appreciate the calls today. Nice to hear from
fun.
Mike again. This was a fun show. I always like it when it's caller friendly, and today was caller friendly. And again, Don Nelson, rest in peace. And I'm going to go do a little research on that 61-62 team and see who they list as the starters in the media guide. So you said Dave Maher was that M A H E R?
Yes.
He was one of them, and do we know who the...
Tom Harris is
Tom Harris,
name.
Okay.
Frank Allen.
Frank Allen. Okay,
name.
I'll look and see.
And Ron Zager.
Ron Zager, Z-E-A-G-E-R?
Yes.
Okay.
Their comment was the best. Why did they take these classes?
That was... I started laughing when he said... He goes, yeah, you know, they took these really hard classes. Why would you do that? I mean, they are in college trying to better themselves. But yeah, maybe Don knew he was going to play 14 years in the NBA. I'm guessing, Don, did we ever look up, can you look up someone's net worth once they're dead?
Yeah.
Look up, see, I'm just kind of curious. I'm going to guess Don Nelson somewhere between 5 and 15 million. I know that's a big window, but it's hard to say, you know, because he coached and played at a time when money wasn't very prevalent.
I'll go higher. I'll say 25.
And hopefully you're right. Hopefully he's worth more than 5 to 15. I'm going with that window right there. 5 to 15. I'll tell you what, nothing wrong with being worth even 5 million. That's,
No.
25 million.
Wow, you were right.
Investments including cannabis brands like Willie's Reserve.
So he probably made a lot of money with that.
Income from various film roles, television appearances.
Yes, I didn't realize he was in.
Published books. He had a music career. Touring, album sales, and writing classic country songs.
I had no idea about any of that, that stuff.
Same guy.
Are you sure you got the right
guy? No, they mixed him and Willie Nelson together.
Okay.
Like they did with Iron.
So put Knight. Don Nelson basketball net worth and see what it says.
God. Well, Willie's got to be worth more than 25 million.
Oh, yes.
I hate AI.
It is annoying. You just don't know whether you can believe it or not.
Oh, it's bold. Oops, almost said it.
That would have been a fleeting expletive, though.
It would have.
Don Nelson net worth 30 to 40 million.
Wow, even more than you thought.
Yeah.
Way more than I thought.
Yeah.
And what's
he had real estate holdings, Reynolds in Maui. He owned agricultural.
Well, then he was a smart investor. He made his money work for him. I mean, you get into real estate, that's, you know, a lot of people it doesn't work, but for him it worked. Didn't Jim Nabors live out in Hawaii too?
Yeah.
And doesn't Sylvester Stallone live out in Hawaii, too? I thought I read he lives out there, too. I thought at one point he did.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been to Hawaii. That's not necessarily a bucket list for me either, is it? Have you guys been there?
I have.
Jan was. I never
I've
was.
Never. I don't really ever really have much
Jan
of a desire.
Well
I really
we
don't
dating.
Want to fly anywhere that long. I mean, that's just, that does not appeal to me.
Well, we flew out to Phoenix, I think is where we flew from Phoenix to Hawaii.
And how long was that flight from Phoenix?
Not that bad. Maybe 5 or 6 hours.
So if you combine it with, so if you went one way from Cedar Rapids to Hawaii, it's probably, what, 10 hours, 10, 11 hours?
I don't think there are any.
I don't think there are, but if there was, it would be.
Probably.
That's a long time to stay in an airport.
It is.
Although I know my brother-in-law used to fly to China, and it was like 23 hours in a plane. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll ever do that.
I could not do that.
It took us 9 hours to get to Germany.
That's long enough.
Yeah,
that's long enough in a car, let alone a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been in a plane for a while, so... Okay, well, everybody...
Well, it ain't what it used to be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I really have no desire, to be honest with you. I've done my share of airplane flights.
I mean, your snacks are pretzels.
Well, that's been that way for a long time.
And years. A size of pretzels that I don't like, and then...
Well, I started flying consistently in the early 90s, and back then it was at the tail end of what were I would call decent meals. Most of my time flying from the early 90s all the way through till about 2015, most of it was pretzels or these little crackers, you know, or little cookies. Like they had this particular brand, like a molasses type cookie. I remember getting those too. And then you'd get a can of pop or water or orange juice. That was basically it.
Yeah.
So now they don't even do that?
Well, you can get a can of pop. Yeah, you can.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I remember my first time going to Las Vegas in the early 70s, I had a steak, potato,
and they probably didn't
the
check
salad.
Your suitcase, and you probably ate, and you probably people were probably smoking on the flight too, weren't they?
Yes.
Yes, I mean, it's just incredible.
And I was one of them.
Yeah, when I went to Las Angeles in the 70s, Yeah, we had like, we didn't have a steak, but we had burgers.
Well, now if they catch you smoking, fries, taking a puff on your cigarette in the bathroom in an airplane,
well,
they'll have security there waiting for you.
Yeah,
when you land, you get
thrown out the door.
Yeah,
they just open
literally
the
in
door.
Flight. It's like BB, like
BB
Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, like DB Cooper.
Was it DB or BB?
DB.
DB Cooper.
DB Cooper.
Yeah, I remember watching that show.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And there goes my phone. Hawkfanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.